Well, good morning.
It
is it's great to be here with you. Rod and I would love to be able to share about God's love and our unity. Those are the topics that we'll be discussing this morning. But before we get into the topics, I just want to just briefly tell you a little bit about me. My wife and I, we have twin daughters. I was born and raised in Oregon, and my background in church is Salvation Army. I came and married a Southern Belle, and Barbara, we've been married for just over 21 years now. I have twin daughters that are 15, so pray for us. But they're awesome daughters. They both can, one has their permit and the other just doesn't have any interest, which I say, thank you, Lord. I hope Catherine doesn't hear this. But so it's an exciting time. But we've been at Grace Chapel for 14 and a half, going on 15 years. And as Tom has said, I'm an elder with Grace Chapel, and it's an amazing church to be a part of that's focused on the kingdom of God. And the power of that we would walk in it. And that's one of the things we're going to really focus on this morning as we discuss these topics.
Good. And good morning from me. My name, as Tom said, Ron Gonser. I am one of the pastoral care pastors. There's two of us here, Riku and myself. And I'm also the pastor over the chapel on Sunday. So if you've never seen my face, it's because I'm down here every Sunday for both services. Invite you to come down anytime to the chapel. It's a great place to be, great place to worship, and a good body growing in there right now. So let's see, married, and we have two children. We have seven grandchildren. I've been at Grace Chapel now for 19 years. And came from Southern California, born and raised out there. And then in 1997, God called us to Nashville. And I didn't know why, but he did. And now I know why and what ministry he had for me. So I'm blessed to be here, blessed to share with all of you and get to know you better. And I thank you personally, along with Craig, for being in this class and being part of STEPS, learning more about the DNA of Grace Chapel. Yeah. So I hope you'll be blessed today from what we're going to share with you.
Amen. So we're going to get started with God's love. So if you you probably have already turned to that page in your folder, in your binder. But just to give you just a little background on God's love, we encourage you to read the scripture. We're not going to read it here this morning, but the whole format, the whole outline of God's love is based on the story of Mephibosheth, who was Jonathan's son. It was a good friend. Jonathan, of course, was great friends with King David, and how David restored to Mephibosheth on behalf of Jonathan the things that were taken from him when his father and grandfather were killed, and how God shows his love through that story. So we encourage you to read that story because it's an awesome scripture about how God demonstrates his love even though we don't deserve it. So we're going to start out with the very first point, and I know that you'll be filling in these blanks. But the first point is that God's love seeks to be demonstrated to anyone. So God's love seeks to be demonstrated to anyone. And we have some things that, for you to read there. And the point is, God is always seeking to show his love to us. He is always looking for ways that he can demonstrate that how much he loves us. And the heart of Grace Chapel in all of our ministries is to encourage everyone to step up and to get involved so that we can allow God to demonstrate his love through us. Because that's ultimately what we're all about as believers. We're all about letting God, being a conduit, right, for God to show his love through us. And so there's many ways for us to get plugged into Grace Chapel so that we can so that we can allow that love, that God's love, to shine through us. When we see that in that passage, of course, I won't spend a lot of time on that, but how David, he was seeking. He said, is there anybody left in Jonathan's household that I can demonstrate my love to? And then Mephibosheth's name came up, and he actually brought him so that he could show his love to Mephibosheth. Okay, the second point is that God's love, it saves the lame, crippled, dropped, and fleeing. The context in the message is that Mephibosheth, if you know that story, he was not able to walk. He was dropped when he was very young. When they were fleeing, because they were afraid David was going to kill them, because David was the new king, and so he could not walk. But even in spite of that, when David restored him, he made sure he had that even though he was lame, that he was embraced as a son. And that's one of the things, no matter what. In fact, right across the hall, we have the Can-Do Ministry. And that ministry is for children especially who have special needs. It ranges from like ADHD to Down syndrome to all of those special needs. And their whole task is to make sure that we can minister to those with special needs. In fact, what they will even do is they will go with the kids. Sometimes they'll just have a special class for kids with special needs. But there are kids with special needs that are highly functional. So they'll actually have a can-do person that will go with them to their actual class so they could participate with all the other kids their age. But they'll have that can-do person there to make sure that they have what they need. Because the actual teachers of that class, there's no way they could handle that if there was a child that was, just because they have special needs, they were misbehaving. And so that really helps to minister to those kids so they can actually take part in that ministry. And it's really phenomenal. So we take that to heart, where those who are the lame, crippled, dropped, all of those with that have those needs, that we want to show that love to them. And so that's our heart as a church. And we're blessed to be able to have the ability to have those resources. Okay. The third point is that God's love, it reaches to the barren places. Okay, and in the story of Mephibosheth, Mephibosheth is in the place called Lodabar, which is no pasture, which is basically a desolate place. And one of the things we recognize at Grace Chapel, especially if people that don't know the Lord, they don't even realize it, but they're in a barren place. God always calls us to come to where we are, where He can love us, and that we can be in community, and that we could be going from a place where really, because if you look at the world and those who don't know God, you know, they may think they're having, but they know that they're missing something, that they're in a barren place. Mm-hmm. But God is calling us to fullness of life, and we believe that here at Grace Chapels, that when we're walking with God, that we are called to, you know, we have our jobs, we have all the things that we're supposed to do, but we're called to minister, and we want to get people to get plugged in and out of the barren place to where we're being used by God, and that we're really experiencing the fullness of life. It's for us. It's for us. God wants us to be fulfilled. He called us. Jesus came so that we would have life and life to its full. So it's a beautiful story of how Mephibosheth is pulled out of the barren place to the king's table. And here he is. He's eating with King David at his table. So it's important that we try to bring people so that you all are living that fullness of life. Amen. From the barren place.
Okay, all right, number four. It removes fear. We know the scripture, and it gives you the scripture there that says that perfect love casts out all fear. We want here at Grace Chapel to make sure that you understand that there's no fear when you come here. You can be loved on, you can be cared for, you can be found in unity, and that when you're here with us, we want to love on you and remove any type of fear from you at all, whether that's through prayer, whether that's through conversation, however that looks to you, whatever you need. If you feel a sense of fear of any kind, you can come up to an elder, you can come up to a prayer team member, an usher, and we're there for you immediately. So God removes all fear. We want to make sure that when you're here with us as part of this body, not just on the campus, but wherever you go, that you know you're part of Grace Chapel and that we are there to help you remove all fear that Satan would try to bring into your life. It produces restoration. We like to look at Grace Chapel as a place of restoration for the hurting. Just as Craig was talking about the lame and the crippled, well, maybe not necessarily you're not lame and you're not crippled, but maybe spiritually you might be. And so we want to make sure that you are restored to what God wants you to be, and that is to know that you're a child of the King. You're not just somebody here at Grace Chapel, another body in a seat. You are a vital person to Grace Chapel. And we open up doors all over the place for you to get involved in and be part of, but we want you to be restored. So whatever you've come out of, some people come out of churches that have hurt them, some come out of families that have hurt them, relationships that have hurt them. We're here, especially in pastoral care, to help you become restored to who you are in Christ, how Christ sees you as His child. And He wants you to know that, to live in that life. And so He brings restoration. He produces that. He'll restore it to you. And then number six, adoption. It brings secure adoption. You know how adoption works. You have a child that doesn't have a family and they're brought in to a new family. And at first there's maybe a little bit of hesitation and seeking out and what's this like and what's that going to be. That might be happening to you as new people to Grace Chapel. Like, where do I fit in? Is this really for me? Is this how it is? But we want you to know that we're here to adopt you into this body in any way that is comfortable for you. Whatever that looks like to you and whatever you need to be adopted in so that we can love you in the way that you need to be loved and that you can walk in unity with this body. So if that takes 6 months, a year, maybe just a week, whatever that takes, every person's in a different place when they come in. We're here to adopt you into Grace Chapel, let you know that you're part of this body, you're loved in this body, and we're not going to abandon you and let you be all by yourself. We're going to be here for you.
Amen. I want to piggyback just on that before we go on to the next point. In some countries, and I know this because my brother and his wife adopted from Ukraine, when they adopted their daughter, one thing that was really cool is that they rewrote her birth certificate to be as if the day she was born, she was their daughter. Isn't that an awesome picture? Mm-hmm. And you know, that's one of the things at Grace Chapel with adoption. We want everybody to understand that when we come to know the Lord, we're adopted, and that verbiage is in the Bible, but it's as if God says, you've been my sons and daughters from the very moment you were conceived. That is an awesome, awesome thing that God has done through Jesus Christ. Okay. And we want that demonstrated. We want people to realize that that are part of this body and to live like that. So anyway, so then the last point is that God's love, it covers imperfection and lameness. And this is something I think that is really an important concept to understand, because many times that we as believers, we get plugged into a church, we start going to church, and we think, you know, I'm not worthy. I can't, there's nothing I can do. I don't have the ability to talk to speak with children, or I don't have the ability to teach an adult class or to even, you know, hold babies or whatever. But God, He's able, if He puts it on your heart, I mean, that's the most important thing. We want you to know that God knows where He wants you to be. He's preparing you. And anything that you're lacking, God's going to cover that. You know, it's not up to us. And that's the beauty of the Christian life. You know, we don't have to be well-educated and all of that to be able to step into a certain role. God knows. He uses us where we are, but all he wants is willing vessels. And then he's going to use us. He's going to cover all of those imperfections. Okay, that's something that's so important to understand as we close out the topic of God's love. That to encourage you that if God is calling you to step into a certain role, to take part in the body, and he's, a spoiler alert, I guess you'd say, he's calling everybody to step in and do a part in the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. Now, it may not be exactly for Grace Chapel. It could be out in the world, out in the community. But what we really want to encourage everyone who's a part of our body is to not just come and hear great teaching and all that, which is awesome, but to take your part in the kingdom, whether it be something here at Grace Chapel, which would be awesome, or out in the community where you are living the kingdom life. Okay? And you can't use anything as an excuse. Okay? Because God has equipped you. He's equipped us to do the work of the kingdom. All right. So now we are going to go into the foundations in unity. And, of course, this is a huge topic for the church because one of the things, in fact, we talked about, we had a men's retreat this weekend, Friday and Saturday, and it was spiritual warfare. But it was interesting that the primary focus is that Satan, his number one goal is to attack relationship. If you think about it, sin is a breaking of relationship. All sin can be looked at as breaking relationship. And we need to be unified, okay? We need to live in unity. So this is so important that we understand who we are, that we have everything that we need, and God loves us so that we don't have to worry about competing with anybody else, that we can live in unity. So that is kind of an overview. So number one in the foundations in unity is that we are all equal in the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that's something that's so important. Sometimes we come into a church and, oh, the pastor is lifted up and he's way up here and I'm way down there. That is not the case. We have to understand that in God's eyes, we are all equal. Okay? And the scripture, there's so much scripture to back it up. There's Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. We encourage you to read these scriptures when you have a chance. But it's so important to see that God, he's created us as the entire body, and we need each other. Okay, but we're all equal in the eyes of God. We are all equal, that not one person is higher than the other. So there's no reason for jealousy. Now, Satan will bring that in, and he'll lie to us that, oh, that person has something that's more important than us. Satan's always doing that, even to the ones that seem to be at the very top. Satan's always playing those games. But we want to encourage you, again, to hear the Holy Spirit and to get plugged in to Grace Chapel where God has called you to, and not worry about, not even think about those things, because the Holy Spirit knows, God knows where he wants you to be, and knowing that every single person in the body of Christ is equal. Okay, so the second is that we are all given authority in Christ. And again, and it's cool because if I don't know if any of men in here were able to go to the men's retreat, but we have those kinds of things to encourage the body. Women have their retreats and the ministry that ministers to women, and it is awesome. I don't know if any of you are plugged into that, but that you need to look at it, because I've always heard just great things about the women's Bible study and all of those things. But the men's retreat, it is so appropriate to this point that the man, Dean Sherman, who spoke to us, he talked about how God gave Adam authority to rule over all things, over the earth, over the things of the earth. But when man sinned, he allowed Satan to share that authority. Mm-hmm. And ever since that time, that's why Satan has authority in the earth, is because we, men and women, have allowed him to take that authority to rule. But now when Jesus came and died on the cross, he became a man because God gave authority to men. So he had to become a man to take back that authority, and he's given it to the church.
Yeah.
Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
And God has called that. So we understand that that's an amazing thing, but it's something that God has entrusted to us, and we need to step into that authority. Satan wants us to not do that, to be afraid of it or whatever. But God, and as a church, we want to encourage you to step into the authority, that the God-given authority that he has given us. So that is so important. So we are given the authority. God has given us the authority as long as we're plugged into the vine. If we're not plugged into the vine, we're giving that to Satan. We're letting him take that authority. We've got to be plugged into Jesus. And that's what we encourage you, to encourage the body at Grace Chapel, is to be plugged into the vine, or to be plugged into Jesus. Okay. So the third is, Ron's going to tell you.
I was enjoying it, Craig. You just keep going. That's good. I'm all for that. Number three, the glue for unity is remembering what Jesus did for us. Again, we're talking about unity, and we're talking about walking together as a body without division, without prejudices, without separation. We're talking about walking together in unity, and it's Jesus that is the glue that keeps that going. That is the person that we are praising, worshiping, ministering to in our worship, praise, studies, everything else is Christ, Jesus Christ. It's not anything else. It's not a denomination. It's nothing like that. It is Jesus that we want to lift up here. He is the glue that holds all this together. And here at Grace Chapel, we want you to remember not to treat others as if they don't belong. That's why we do a meet and greet when people come in. Some people don't like that. They have a hard time with that. But love on them. Care for them. Let them know they're part of this body there. Welcome them. You don't have any idea who's sitting next to you or where they've come from. They have no idea where you guys have come from. And so you want people to know that you're part of this body, and it's because of Christ and what Christ has done in our life. That's the only reason that we're here to worship and to praise together as a body. It's because of what he did for us. It says, remember, God never wants us to cause division. Please, 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 if we lift up the name of Jesus, we're going to be together in unity all the time. Not talking about other things and all of that, but talking about who Christ is, what Christ has done for me, what Christ can do for you. And as we do that, we will be in unity and we'll be in a bond together, like glue stuck together. And that's what causes us. We all look different. We all seem different. We're of different ages, different lifestyles, coming from different places. But the one thing we have in common is Jesus Christ. And that is the glue that keeps us together. Number four, unity is a reality we already have in Christ, not something that we strive for. Growing up, not going to a Lutheran church, I always was trying to please God and trying to make him happy with me and the things that I did. And when I didn't, I wanted to hide, and I was in shame and all of that. When I came to Christ as my Savior, I found out that I already had him in my heart then, and that if I did do something, I could immediately say, please forgive me, and I was forgiven. We don't have to walk in shame. As long as we'll confess with our mouth the issue that it is. I was talking to a gentleman this morning in the hall, and he said, Ron, I just did some things this weekend, said some things that I shouldn't have said. I said, did you get on your knees and ask Jesus to forgive you? No. I said, he will. You're walking around. Satan's got a cloak of heaviness all over you. Scripture says that God gives us a garment of praise. So get on your knees, ask for forgiveness. Know that the Scripture says when you ask, you shall receive and you'll be forgiven. So we already have that ability to do that. Don't neglect it. Don't put it aside. Know who you are in Christ, and you have that ability to walk together without any separation whatsoever. And number five, we all have equal access to the Father in the kingdom. As you look around the room and you see all of you that are there, then you see Craig and I, and you hear Craig's an elder, and I'm an elder and a pastor, and but we all are the same in Christ. We're all called to different ministries. We're all called to different positions in the body, but we're all the same to Jesus. Jesus doesn't see me any different than he sees you. The only difference that I know by Scripture is he asks more of me, because to whom much is given, much is required, the Bible says. So if I'm going to say, I want to be in pastoral care, or I want to be an elder, there's something that comes with that. There's another level that comes with that. And so I have to recognize that and say, Lord, here am I, use me. I want to have that ability to do that. Fill me with that. But we all have the same access. And so if you say, well, I don't think I could ever teach a class. I don't know if I could do this or I can do that. If God's called you to it, he'll equip you to do it. He's given you access to him, and he's given you the abilities. We're all citizens. We're all supernaturally fit together. He's our foundation. He's our cornerstone. And we can accomplish whatever we want to accomplish in Christ. So we're not doing it under our own strength. I couldn't do this under my own strength. But it's because of Jesus in my life. So you can say, Lord, I have that same access that Ron has. And so, Lord, call me. What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to be? How can I serve the body at Grace Chapel? And how can I serve you to the fullest gift that you put within me?
Amen. That's awesome. Number six is there is a difference between kingdom authority and worldly position. Okay, and we've kind of touched on that a little bit. And the scripture that's mentioned here, if you remember when the mother of James and John approached Jesus and said, I have a request. Is it okay if my son sit at your right and your left hand? And Jesus said, you know, were they able to take the cup? And he said, it's not his place to decide that. It was a misunderstanding of the difference between kingdom authority and worldly position. They're thinking about position of, oh, I want to rise up to this position because so that I can be important. And that can creep into the church. And even the disciples, weren't they looking for Jesus to restore Israel, right? To take dominion, in fact, over the entire world. They were waiting for Jesus. They thought the Messiah was going to come from a worldly standpoint, in the context of kingdoms of men, to take over. And Jesus said, no, my kingdom is not of this world. And that's something that we need to understand as the body of Christ, that in God's scheme of things, in the authority that he sets out, the world's authority in the kingdom of men is different than the authority in the kingdom of God. And as we operate as a church, we need to understand that the difference, okay? Because there should be, in the kingdom of God, as believers in Christ, there should be no desire for going up the ladder, so to say. You know, in fact, many of those who come into authority, they're not seeking to come into that authority. God puts them into that authority because God knows they're prepared. And that's usually through humility and through service and servanthood. And that's one thing we need to understand, and we want everybody within Grace Chapel to understand the authority of the kingdom of God. Okay, we're not trying to build the things of the kingdom of men. We're here to let Jesus shine through us so that we could see the kingdom of God and its glory. Okay, that's our heart. We want to see the members of Grace Chapel, those who are coming alongside us that are part of this body, to be able to live in the authority of God's authority so that we are as effective as we possibly can be in the kingdom of God. Okay? And that's understanding there's a difference between the kingdoms of men and the kingdom of God as far as the authority. So it's very important to understand that. And the seventh point is division, jealousy, selfishness undermine corporate unity. And there's scripture there in James that asks, why is there fights among you? It's because of the evil that's inside. And if we are to be totally submissive to the Holy Spirit, totally submissive to Christ, there would be no reason for these divisions, jealousy, and selfishness. because we would be totally content in who we are in Christ Jesus. You know, and that is where we want everyone to be in the body. Now, and if you're a part of Grace Chapel, that's one of the things that we want everyone to be trained and to know, that you are totally content in who God made you to be, which would remove the need of trying the things that would allow the division, jealousy, and selfishness to creep in. Mm. Okay? Because that way you want, and that's when you think about, and this is something else they talked about yesterday in the men's retreat. And these are the things that just bless us to death. But when you think about what the two greatest commandments, what did Jesus say? Is you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength. Okay? And the second is very much the same. And you should love each other as yourself. You have the vertical between God. That is the most important. But it's just as important, Jesus said, is the horizontal, is with each other. Okay? And that's why you should love others as better than yourselves. In other words, to know that you are totally content in who you are, so you won't have any fear in encouraging and lifting up others around you so that they could be all they can be in Christ, because you have nothing to worry about. You're totally content in who you are in Christ Jesus. That's that spiritual maturity. We don't get there like that. But we need to, as we seek God, as we seek to let the Holy Spirit come in and direct us, then we can live that life where we can lift up others to encourage them in their walk with Christ, knowing that we have nothing to fear.
That's right.
And so that's where we want the body of Grace Chapel to mature, so that in this unity, so that there is none of these divisions, jealousy, and selfishness that are creeping in. Okay? So that's one thing that we really want to encourage the believers to live that life for Christ. And I will let Ron take the last two.
All right, number eight, there's unity when we walk in kingdom authority. So we've talked a lot about walking in unity, walking as one body. Wherever we go, we walk in unity. We don't try to separate or do that, but we walk together. And it says every member is important in the body. If the joints are not functioning properly, there's little movement. We all know that when you get an injury to your body, whether it be a arm, leg, what neck, whatever it is, and it doesn't function properly, every time you go to move it, it says ow, and it tells you that exactly. And so it's not working properly. We need to walk in unity here as a body under the kingdom authority and go, you know, go together as a body. If you're here and you know, God's brought you here to Grace Chapel to be part of this, then you need to jump in and be part of what Grace Chapel's doing. It's not just a place on Sunday morning to come for an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever it is. It's a place to get involved and to become part of it and to become part of what God's doing here in Leaper's Fork with Grace Chapel. There's a lot of good churches around, but you've chosen this one. God's brought you here. If this is it, jump in unity with the body and move with the body. Number nine, and this is the I think wraps up this area anyway. Walking in unity always brings what? A blessing. If we're walking in unity, it brings a blessing, not just to us, but to those that we minister to. We are not here just to celebrate every Sunday as Grace Chapel. We're here to teach everyone to be a light of Christ, to wherever you go in your jobs, at your home, in your neighborhoods, wherever you are, to let Christ shine through you and to be a blessing to people. You've heard Pastor Steve say when he's in the grocery line, sometimes he'll see somebody that's got groceries, might not have enough. He pays for their groceries. Being a blessing to other people, not wanting anything for himself, but just doing that because that's what Jesus would do. And so we want to walk in unity and bring a blessing. I wrote down at the bottom here, we don't have to be the same, but we do have to be one. If we're going to walk here at Grace Chapel together, we need to be one. We all look different, like I said, but we need to be one in Christ here at Grace Chapel. I kind of look at it as a jigsaw puzzle. when you have a large jigsaw puzzle on a table and you're putting it together, there's all individual pieces, they're all different shapes, they're all different colors, but when you put it together, it produces a beautiful picture of something. And that's what we want to do with all of you that are here today. We want to take you, plug you in, find that spot where you go. You can't force, if you've done a jigsaw puzzle, unless you have a pair of scissors and you don't want to do that, you've got to put it where it goes and you got to find the spot. And you find that spot, and when you do, it goes down perfectly. That's what we want for you. We want you to find that spot that God wants you to do here at Grace Chapel and to be a blessing to the body so that you're part of that beautiful picture at the very end. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. It's yours, Tom.
Terrific. Thank you both very much. I'm going to turn this off.
Okay.
Yes.